I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the story behind the story. Truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. I found something today, a headline on Gateway Pundit I'll get to later. It's just this two-party narrative. Now, we're 14 days, apparently, out from the midterms, and Americans are going to be given the opportunity to vote between two really, really, really bad choices again. Now, I will say, as somebody who used to be a Kool-Aid-drinking, neocon, warmongering Republican myself, my apologies to everyone for that. But and I'm certainly no Democrat. I've always had a dislike for the Democrats. I always knew the government was not the solution to our problems. I believed old Ronnie Reagan when he said, government's not the solution to your problems, government actually is the problem. And Republicans have stuck to that point for some time, while at the same time growing the government to massive new levels. Isn't that interesting? So we're given the choice between really two just horrible choices. But it may be important this time the Republicans continue to have control of Congress because the Democrats have lost their mind. As I say, I think the new campaign slogan for the Republicans should be, at least we're not completely insane. That's about their selling point at this time. I don't know if it's not good. I'd written here on my notes, we have the choice between crap and crap on a stick. And I started thinking, well, crap on a stick seems a little more hygienic, at least. You can handle that. I guess that's a little gross way to start a Monday show, but I mean, I just... Gateway Pundit plays into these things, Daily Caller, Breitbart, these sites, Huffington Post on the left, MSNBC. It's just I get so sick of it, watching the continuance of this idea that these two parties, if we just get enough of our guys, they're all going to fix things. And I've got plenty of stories today that show you that neither one of them are up to the task. But I do constantly try to find some of the bright spots out there, and found an interesting interview with Chris McDaniel. He did an interview with Breitbart on their Sirius show, the Sirius Radio, not Sirius as in Sirius Sirius. But I thought this was some pretty good clips. I guess Cindy Hyde-Smith stepped into it a little bit when she called some Mississippians who were backing Chris McDaniel kind of the equivalent of deplorables, and Chris McDaniel was asked about that. I'll play his response here.
Hyde-Smith has been caught now attacking voters across Mississippi. Apparently, she's these very moments, just like Hillary Clinton and the deplorables, when she attacked the voters. She's referred to your supporters as, quote, horrific, toxic, uncivil, and she says that McDaniel voters can't think for themselves. What do you think about these comments that we're hearing out of Cindy Hyde-Smith about the voters?
Well, it's disturbing, to say the least. I mean, there's no point in anyone saying something like that about their fellow Mississippians. But I'm not surprised. She's reached desperation mode. She knows she's losing this race. She knows she's about to lose this appointment. And like most lifetime Democrats, when they get desperate, they tend to be condescending and look down on people. And that was probably the worst part of the comment, Matt, was that, I mean, the words were bad. They were horrific. But think about the nature of where those words were originating. She's looking down on the people of this state. She already thinks she's better than the people of this state. She's only been in Washington for 6 months, and they appointed her to that position. She wasn't elected, and even now she won't debate. She won't answer questions. They keep her in a cocoon, insulated from the people. She's already our betters, our elite, and that's a real problem from my standpoint. I think the people of this state are awake. They understand what's happening, and she's about to lose that appointment.
And so now, apparently, regarding the whole not debating thing, which I think is ridiculous, I think every candidate out there should be open and about debating, and that includes incumbents, that includes people that I agree with, people that I don't agree with. I think debates are a good thing. They're a good thing for the people. But the point is that she's been all over the place in terms of what her reasoning is. First, she was citing that the Senate was still in session, which is, you know, again, they were confirming Justice Kavanaugh, which is a good thing, and that's a good thing that the Senate did. And I want to get to that in a minute. But the point is that now she's now saying, quote, my guys are telling me not to. What does that mean? Like, and why can't she give a real reason why she won't debate?
Well, every reason she's given, she's contradicted. The reason for that is, she doesn't have the ability to articulate the reason, much less get on a stage and defend her past. But here's the thing. She's a lifelong Democrat. She voted for Hillary Clinton. Her biggest campaign contributor is a guy named Sean Parker, who's given her $250,000, and he happens to be Hillary Clinton's biggest campaign contributor. She's a former federal lobbyist, Matt, for goodness sakes, and every vote that she's cast in the state legislature, it dealt with higher taxes and more debt. And even now that she's gotten to the U.S. Senate for 6 months, she already has a 50 from Conservative Review, which is a failing score, and a 46 from Freedom Works, which is a failing score. So what it is, basically, if she stands in front of this state without someone to insulate her, without someone to protect her, the people of this state are going to see that she's a Democrat. And once they see that, she knows she has no chance whatsoever.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I mean, Cindy Hyde-Smith, again, endorsed by Donald Trump, which I thought was incredibly disappointing. But Donald Trump has had to become part of the Republican machine. I have not even seen, has anybody seen polling on this? It just kind of struck me. I guess I haven't really been paying close enough attention. Has anybody seen polling on Cindy Hyde-Smith versus Chris McDaniel? Is Mississippi poised to send up Roger Wicker 2.0 in a skirt up to Washington, D.C.? There was one other clip on here. This is on a SoundCloud file, which is not always the easiest to queue up and do all these things, but I thought this was interesting, something I did not know. Let's see if I can get this to the right spot here. All right, we'll listen to it here.
And Congress is obstructing. And look, you know why. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce doesn't want it. The lobbyists don't want it. Big business, the corporations, they don't want it. And the Democrats don't want it. So ultimately, we find ourselves stuck again doing whatever it is Mitch McConnell says. That has to change.
And again, folks, this is Breitbart News Saturday here on Matt Boyle, our Washington political editor. We're talking to State Senator Chris McDaniel. He's a candidate for the United States Senate in the great state of Mississippi. I spent a lot of time down there in 2014 covering his campaign and saw what the establishment there. The establishment's terrified of Chris McDaniel. They do not want him coming to Washington because they know that he's going to challenge their authority. One of the other things, Senator McDaniel, that's very interesting in this race. I think a big issue is the Second Amendment, and I know our listeners and our readers here very dearly care about the Second Amendment, and I know you're a huge supporter of the Second Amendment, but apparently Cindy Hyde-Smith, back when she was in the state government, pushed for some kind of a gun ban in Jackson. Can you tell us about this and what happened there, and what are your thoughts on that?
Sure. Let that sink in for a second. In a conservative state like Mississippi, where everybody has a firearm, Cindy Hyde-Smith, when she was state agricultural commissioner, tried to impose a gun ban on all state ag properties, including the fairgrounds there in Jackson, Mississippi, where they host gun shows and other events all the time with firearms. And so it's inexplicable. It's inexcusable. The idea that a Republican, a so-called Republican, would ever try to impose a gun ban in a deep red state just goes to show who she really is. She's a Democrat. She's always been a Democrat. And her true colors are going to show when she secures this election, if she does. And that's why it's so important to fight her.
So that's a very interesting question. So why was this the pick of Governor Phil and the rest of the Haley Barbour wing of the establishment Republicans here? Was Cindy Hyde-Smith, that was the best that they could come up with. It's going to be very interesting to see, does she actually win? So I'm certainly supporting. And one of the best things that I saw about Chris McDaniel, from my point of view, was in the story attached to this, and he gets to it a little bit later in the clip there. Senator McDaniel noted that as Republican Senator, Hyde-Smith has not properly represented, a conservative, deep red state conservative review. They talked about the fact she's got a 50% with conservative review and a 46% rating with FreedomWorks. In contrast, McDaniel described himself as a, quote, lifelong Republican conservative who would mirror conservative icons such as Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, or Rand Paul. Now, if someone wants to align themselves, particularly with Mike Lee and Rand Paul, two of the libertarian members of the Senate, true libertarians. Rand Paul's kind of gone off the rails a couple of times on some foreign policy stuff, but the son of Ron Paul, certainly one of the more libertarians, one of the ones that will actually walk the walk, not just talk the talk. If those are the people he's aspiring to be like, then I certainly wish Chris McDaniel all the best. Now, I'm ready to be disappointed in him. That's the thing. See, I'll vote. I'll talk nice about Chris McDaniel. I like a lot of what he says. He uses words like freedom and liberty, actually, when he speaks about things. That's important. Most people, those concepts are lost on most people, but he still continually injects them. But I'm prepared to not worship any person. I'm prepared to be disappointed when he gets there, if it should happen. And when it happens, I'll say that he's, you know, he's on the right side of something. If he's on the wrong side of something, I wish we would pull back from the hero worship of these politicians. I don't care if it's Donald Trump, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, any of them. Need to hold their feet to the fire, but he certainly seems to be tilting in the right direction for somebody, particularly a libertarian like me. If we've got to have just this two-party system, boy, I'd like to see the Republicans infected with a little bit of more libertarian ideas. Now, I do have a story today. Do you know they're going to cut taxes again? Oh, yeah, they're going to cut taxes again. Happy days are here again. It's a really funny, interesting idea if you think about it. They're talking about new tax cuts. I'm just going to bring up something that I find to be a laugh riot. It shows how hostage we are held in the United States. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
One of the worst things about the two-party system that we currently find ourselves beholden to, held captive by, to a libertarian like me, is the constant bribery. It's now we know what the Democrats do. We're hip to their game. People on the right, particularly, because most people on the right will only look at the left. They want to be in the tribe, and you know, you look at again the propaganda off Gateway Pundit or Fox News, that kind of thing, where they keep you in this two-party divide. Now, again, there are tiny differences, but they're both, you know, it's almost like how fast do you want to drive towards the cliff? 70 miles an hour or 67 miles an hour? I mean, that's really the choice we've got right now. We know what the Democrats' game is. They want an open border to bring in more Democratic voters. We're hip to that. We know that you've got Kamala Harris out there right now, just right before the midterms, coming out and saying she wants to do something like $500 a month to everybody, some kind of a universal basic income where everybody gets $500 a month. I mean, it's asinine. But we know it's very transparent that we see that, right? Those Democrats are always promising you something. They're doing a bunch of giveaways. They give away a bunch of entitlements. They try to buy votes. Absolutely, they do. There's no doubt about that, and they've helped to destroy the United States financially at every turn. That's why I find the Democrats' approach to just about every single issue, and the left had a few good little redeeming features about it in the past. Anti-war, civil liberties, some of those things were pretty good on the left. They've abandoned all that stuff, and they've just gone to the ridiculousness like Kamala Harris suddenly before the midterm saying, oh, we're going to start sending everybody cash. The funny thing is, and I'll let them talk about it, we've got Tax Cuts 2.0 coming out now. And I've talked about this. I've already given it a name. You know how Congress likes to give all their little bills a name, and each letter stands for something. I call this the laughing tax, because it's so ridiculous on its face. That's L-A-F-F-I-N-G. I'm sorry, I couldn't spell it correctly, but you know they like to do clever things like that. So it's Loans Ask from Future Indebted Not Yet Born Generations. That's what I would name this tax, this tax cut, Tax Cut 2.0. This was Donald Trump talking about it, and this is, again, right before the midterms.
We are looking at putting in a very major tax cut for middle-income people. And if we do that, it'll be sometime just prior, I would say, to November. And are studying very deeply right now, round the clock, a major tax cut for middle-income people. Not for business at all, for middle-income people. Kevin Brady's working on it. Paul Ryan is working. We're all working on it. And we're looking at a major tax cut for middle-income people who need it.
What was the time frame for that?
I would say sometime around the 1st of November, maybe a little before that.
Yeah. So right before the midterms themselves. So, President Trump, what about spending cuts? Are we going to do any kind of, are you offering any kind of spending cuts? So there's nothing in the spending side. I looked through the bill, I mean, through the proposal. As I looked through there, there's nothing there. But here's what the funny thing to me about the new level of tax cuts is. Now, again, I say we know what the Democrats' game is. They bribe people with other people's money. They try to give entitlements out. They give Kamala Harris wants to just all of a sudden give everybody $500. I guess this is just going to come from the Treasury. Republicans and conservatives, libertarians like myself, call these things income redistribution, wealth redistribution. You know, it's socialism. It's all of the nasty words of government interference and handing people's money out. But the funniest thing to me is that the Republicans are going to trot out this tax cut again. And again, this is not so much a tax cut. I mean, it is. And I'm for zero personal income taxes. I won't have time today to go into why. For all you people out there who think that the government needs personal income taxes to operate, you're just flat out wrong. They don't need our personal money. That's a power move. It's a control move. And it gives them more money to hand out to special interests. They collect over $2.7 trillion a year without touching a nickel out of anybody's paycheck. So I'm for zero. But what's funny about the Republicans and tax cuts being proposed, and they're going to try to get something through just prior to the election, where the Democrats bribe their people with new money coming from somebody else, the Republicans are actually bribing us for our votes. And again, I'm for tax cuts. I'm just for some sanity at the federal level, too. You don't do tax cuts without spending cuts unless you're just really prepared to go ahead and bankrupt the country. The Republicans are actually trying to bribe voters to vote for them by bribing you with your own money. It's already your money. You wake up in the morning. You go earn the money. You don't spend time with your family. Instead, you go to work. You spend time away from your hobbies that you might like to do. You wake up on those days you don't feel like getting out of bed. You do all those things, and then you go out and earn money. And they're going to let you keep a little bit more of it. Does that not seem strange to anybody else? They're bribing you with your own money. But see, the concept of reality and what is real and the way things operate has been so wildly distorted that this is a tactic that they can actually use. There was nothing more pathetic to me, and it was no insult to the people that were actually there, but when they passed the first tax cuts, and you had people going to these ceremonies where they talked about how, I mean, one woman was crying. is they were going to save a couple of $1,000s a year, and they were going to be able to redo their kitchen. And I thought, what a helpless group of people we have become. She was crying, saying they were going to be able to finish out their kitchen remodel after several years of just not being able to get it done. It's your money, woman. You should be angry that they take it in the first place. Where else could you be bribed with your own money outside of, like, the mafia? You know, the mafia that comes and says, look, you got a beautiful restaurant here. It would be a shame it should burn down. And you say, what are you talking about? And you say, well, you know, the mafia comes in. And they say, well, look, this is what you're going to do. You're going to pay us 10% of the money that you make every week. We're going to come by on Fridays. We're going to pick up. You're going to give us 10% because that makes sure that no accident happens here and your restaurant doesn't burn down. That would be called extortion, right? These things are kind of illegal. In our country, we have just allowed this kind of extortion, which is basically, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to come by every April. We're going to take 30% of your income. As a matter of fact, we're going to take a little bit of it along the way. We don't trust that you're going to give us everything in April, so what we're going to do is we're going to take little nibbles during the course of the year, and you're going to give us all this, and that way we won't bother you. Because I know why people pay taxes. Only the most brainwashed people out there believe it's somehow patriotic to pay money, you know, to pay taxes to the federal government, the most inefficient, irresponsible body of so-called leaders ever assembled when it comes to finances. Very few people believe this is patriotic anymore. You pay your taxes because you're scared to not pay your taxes, right? We do this out of fear. Why do those businesses in the Bronx pay that money to the mafia? It's out of fear. So Republicans are going to pass another round of tax cuts for us. They're not going to change any spending, so it just means you are getting to borrow money from your grandchildren, and you're just leaving your grandchildren with the tab because this money is going to be funded by debt because they are increasing. Maybe this gets boring. I don't know. So there's always new people listening. I don't know if anybody hears this anywhere else. I don't know if anybody covered the fact that in the last 2 weeks of the fiscal year of this last year, the Republican-led Congress and a Republican president were rushing to spend $300 billion they had left in their budgets. There were stories where people were talking to Republicans and administrators in the Republican administration, and they were saying, you know what the biggest problem is? We don't have enough people here to spend all this money. We're not sure if we can get it all spent in the final 2 weeks of the fiscal year because we don't have enough people to fill out the paperwork to spend all this money. And that's where we are. We're going to send Roger Wicker back up to Washington, D.C. To continue to do this stuff. I don't know. Again, like I say, this is a free your mind show to realize that it really doesn't have to be this way. Now, you can play the two-party game if you want to. You can support your people. You can send your little $25 checks to your Republican Party. You can put the bumper stickers on and do all that stuff. But can we maybe hold them accountable to something? It's just, if Kamala Harris's $500 per person is patently looking like a bribe right before the midterms, they're rolling all this stuff out. Can you understand that maybe the Republicans are trying to bribe you, but they're doing it with your own money? How helpless are we? How helpless are we that we're going to be bribed with our own money? Absolutely stunning, stunning stuff. I got a couple of funny things on Democrats, though, too. You know, they're just such easy targets. I guess maybe sometimes I don't pick on them as much as I should. It's just too easy. I mean, it really is. It's like debating some kind of a low IQ opponent. But even the Democrats have finally gotten sick of the Clintons. There was a fantastic article that I'm going to get to in just a second. From the Daily Beast, it is brutal to Hillary Clinton. Brutal. So let's start this week on a high note as we listen to the two Democrats and liberals tell the Clintons to sit down and shut up. Finally. I don't know why it took them so long to get there, but it looks like they are there. I'll be right back.
Well, American man. Well,
back to your childhood, I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Must not have slept real well. I woke up this morning around 4 o'clock in the morning and could not get back to sleep for a little while. You know when you wake up early and then you go back to sleep within 30 minutes really of the time you need to wake up? You're just exhausted. I've had a pretty much record snooze, but it's showing up now. I've got a lot of things that I do in the studio here during the breaks. I queue up clips. I've got notes. I find stories. I'm kind of jumbled here, but I've got a whole hodgepodge of news, and I wanted to do this today because for those of us who have seen through the Clintons for years, what's always been mystifying to me is that I know some smart people, people that are successful in life, that I enjoy being around, that are clever, that, you know, just seem on top of their game, but they've never been able to see through the Clintons. These were Clinton voters. Just about everybody knows it. I don't hate these people. I'm not mad at them. I don't unfriend them on Facebook because they disagree with me, which is where our society has ended up. But I have always just been a little shocked. It's like, how can this really intelligent person not catch on to the Clintons' game? These people are criminals. They are. When you talk about somebody feeding off the trough of power and corruption, the Clintons are the poster couple for this. Their whole family, their whole team, the Podestas, Donna Brazile, the whole gang. And I've just never been able to parse out exactly why people could still be down with the Clintons. Well, it turns out I think they have finally overstayed their welcome. There's a lot of talk about her running again in 2020. Stunning to me. But I got to tell you, to watch her lose three times might be, it might be fun to watch. But the left is apparently getting sick of the Clintons as well. This was a story in the Daily Beast. The Daily Beast is certainly no fan of conservatism or libertarianism. They are a Democrat, liberal, slanted site. They'll have some good columns on there every now and then. They'll allow some other opinions in. But Daily Beast is certainly on the left, and here is a piece, and I'm going to read several things of it. I should probably read the whole article, but it's long. This was an op-ed. It was written by Liz Mayer, M-A-I-R, at the Daily Beast. And I'm just going to read you some excerpts of this thing. It is brutal. The Clintons, it seems, this is Liz Mayer, the Clintons, it seems, can't seem to call it quits, even if it means leaving members of their own party cringing and many more voters ready to head desk themselves into a coma. This time, it's happening courtesy of a pay-through-the-nose-to-see-them rehab tour. Because if there's one thing America hasn't had enough of over recent decades, it's efforts by the Clintons to recast themselves as normal, likable people as they cash checks and play the victim. This is from a left site. Mayer reduces Hillary's tenure as Secretary of State, 2 Senate runs, and 2 presidential runs as, quote, either an attempt to show independence from her husband or to be compensated for his myriad screw-ups. Hillary remains caught up in the delusion that the only reason she lost in 2016 was because of Russian interference. She does not seem to have fully processed the fact that she lost the Electoral College, the only vote that counts. She touts the fact that she got nearly 3 million more votes than Trump while conveniently leaving out that her tally of the votes still fell well below 50%. Both of the major party nominees in 2016 were so unlikable, flawed, and let's be candid, unethical, that lots of us just couldn't pull the lever for her, even if we couldn't stand Trump. According to a study from American National Election Studies, the words most associated by voters with Hillary in 2016 were, quote, experienced liar, unquote. Is it logical that she'd want to rehab her image given all of this? Perhaps. Is it possible? No. Do we need to watch her try? Definitely, definitely, definitely not. Again, this is the Daily Beast. Let me get down to some more of this stuff. It was good. Only sheer partisan convenience could allow someone to insist that Dr. Christine Blasey Ford's testimony is credible while downplaying the numerous allegations of mistreatment and worse made by women against Bill Clinton. She goes on to say, one of the reasons Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has been so refreshing, now see, this shows their left-leaning bias here, that they love a democratic socialist, isn't just because the more democratic socialist-driven modern Democratic Party, which is populated to a greater degree by younger voter, wants a younger, more progressive avatar to embrace it. It's also because even Republicans are starting to get weary of bashing the Clintons now. Though some of us will still undertake it as a public service. Clinton is like the target you've already shot dead. You've already shot dead on so many times the paper has gone to shreds. There are a few more column inches to be written. But even Fox News personalities have begun to act a little bored when they dive into the Hillary-focused narrative these days. Again, Liz Mayer from the Daily Beast, she says, zombie movies for Halloween are fun, but whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, or neither, there's only so much zombie politics you can take. That's what the Clintons essentially offer now, a brain-devouring, egocentric version of the Democratism lurching and festering onward seemingly endlessly. That is from the liberal-leaning Daily Beast. It took a while to get there. It took far too long to get there. They should have been able to see through the Clintons back in the 90s. Really, probably the late 80s when he was governor and catting around. And if there had been any investigative journalist around, they would have known Clinton was actually running drugs into Mena, Arkansas. That's a whole nother story. And I played the clip Friday of Norm MacDonald talking about him being a murderer in the White House. Anyway, you know, that is how blind the partisanship makes you. If you just can go 20 or 30 years blind to exactly what the Clintons are, that's pretty sad. But like I say, at least they're finally catching on.
I remember landing under sniper fire. There was supposed to be some kind of a greeting ceremony at the airport, but instead we just ran with our heads down to get into the vehicles.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
The server contains personal communications from my husband and me.
What difference at this point does it make?
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Stock market is looking pretty flat today after a couple of bad down days last week. I will continue to stick to my theory that we are on the cusp of something ugly. The numbers, I don't think, are as they are being propagandized to us. But, you know, I don't know if you're familiar. There's a group in Washington, D.C. I'm forgetting the exact title. President's Working Group on Markets. I believe that's the formal name from it. It's something along those lines. You might know it by the moniker the Plunge Protection Team. There's actually a political group in Washington, D.C. that I think works at the behest of the commander-in-chief, who actually can go in and buy up stocks if they need to at any particular time. It's been kind of interesting. The stock market has got all the sense that it could be kind of rolling over. The valuations are huge. The underlying economics are not good. The economy's getting better. I'm not trying to take anything away from Donald Trump before you snowflake out on me here. But as Donald Trump said when he was campaigning, we're in a big, fat, ugly bubble. And he was right then. He's still right about it now. It's just he doesn't say it anymore. Now he takes credit for it. I think that's going to be a bad thing for him. But I got to tell you, with the down days last week, I'll bet you that Plunge Protection Team is heavy at work 14 days out before the midterms. The last thing the Republicans want to see is a down market. So there's no telling what's going on. After the midterm elections are over, Katie barred the door. We'll probably see exactly what's happening. As long as we're spending a little bit of time bashing the Clintons and bashing Democrats, it's just, I say, I don't do as much on this show as most conservative shows because it's too easy. I'm not breaking any new news to tell you how bad the Democrats are, but they have, last week they had Pocahontas. They haven't been having great weeks, and they are what will hand the Republicans the midterms. Republicans have to essentially have done nothing, which is probably, when it comes to what they promise us and what they do, they essentially do nothing that they promise us. So the only thing that saves them is the Democrats being wildly horrible. Cory Booker, a guy has come out and accused Cory Booker, that up-and-coming rising Democratic star, of sexual harassment in a restroom. Yes, it was a dude. There's been a lot of questions about Cory Booker, whether or not he's gay or bisexual or whatever. I mean, wouldn't that help him? I mean, it's kind of interesting to me. Anytime you see somebody on the Democratic side who tries to hide their fact that they're gay, I never understand that. But he's got a guy accuser. Now, everybody says, believe the accuser. Shouldn't this be a huge story? Shouldn't this be believe him? Believe him. Automatically, without a doubt. Easy to say, pretty funny comparison, so close on the heels of the Kavanaugh hearings and that Cory Booker played such a prominent part in those hearings. It's kind of interesting that this has not already destroyed his career and he hasn't already tendered his resignation. But also found this hot on the heels of Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, finding out somebody's got a meme. There were just fantastic memes with the Pocahontas stuff with Elizabeth Warren. And somebody said the DNA test is in, and it just shows a picture of two white saltine crackers sitting there. Well, there's something we could learn. Listen to this. There's a new educational platform out there. We may not be able to educate our kids in the Democratic-run schools. And I say Democrat-run schools. The Republicans have been campaigning for 40 years on getting rid of the Department of Education, yet they just gave them the biggest raise the Department of Education's ever had this past fiscal year. Yes, that's right. Your Republicans who have campaigned on getting rid of the Department of Education for 30 years just gave them the largest raise that they've ever had as a department. But while these failing schools and the failing educational system centralized in Washington, D.C., you know who doesn't give you a massively, nationally centralized education department? Libertarians. But while the real schools are failing people, Elizabeth Warren does want you to know about another school where you can learn some really valuable skills.
Today, I want to tell you about one group that has been helping to lead this fight by preparing us for the hard political battles that lie ahead. Resistance School. Resistance School offers free online skills-based trainings from leading experts and organizers who can teach you how to mobilize and organize most effectively. Check out Resistance School at resistanceschool.com. These tools and skills are free and online for you and for everyone else. Together, we can resist and persist. America needs you right now. Will you join us?
There you go. Resistance school. They've got resistance school. I've kind of pulled up here. I hadn't looked at it. I heard that clip this morning. Turn your online outrage into offline action. It's very nice, pretty. Learn, engage, act, access video lessons from leading academics and practitioners to gain the skills you need to organize and mobilize effectively. This is just a political. This is obviously as seen on New York Times, Time, HuffPo, USA Today, CNN, Salon. Yeah, very, very interesting. Let's get, you know, how to register voters, how to knock on doors. Is that what you need, Democrats? You're not familiar with the how to knock on a door, how to hold a house meeting. There's a lot of different courses here that you can go on. They're beefing up the resistance movement on the Democratic side. It doesn't sound like they're planning on winning anything come the midterm election. If they're just now rolling out resistance school, it sounds like they plan on being in the minority for a little bit longer. Quick clip on this. The Mega Millions. Can you believe this thing? Is anybody playing this? Is this something you can get in over in Louisiana? I don't even know.
Tonight, an estimated annuitized $1 billion. Let's see if I can make you a billionaire tonight.
But there was no winner in what had become the largest Mega Millions jackpot since the game began in 2002. The odds of hitting it big? 1 in 302.5 million. Lines formed across the country yesterday as people bought tickets for a shot at what was the second largest lottery prize in U.S. history.
1 billion, mega. 1 billion, bro.
Oh, it's 1 bill, $1 bill.
There hasn't been a Mega Millions jackpot winner since July. And now officials say the jackpot could soar to tie the all-time record of $1.6 billion by Tuesday. There is good news for one lucky player in Morgan Hill, California, where at this gas station, a ticket matching 5 of 6 numbers was purchased. It's one of 15 tickets that's good for $1 million. But hitting it big doesn't always mean sustaining the lifestyle. According to the Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, nearly one-third of lottery winners declare bankruptcy.
You know, that's always an interesting statistic. You see these things with these lottery winners whose lives just crater. It just really is just terrible for them. Now, there's not many people listening to me today that wouldn't say, I'd like to try it. That's what everybody says when you say, you know, because I've known some very wealthy people, just a handful of like really wealthy people. I'm not talking about, you know, a successful surgeon that's making $800,000 a year or anything like that, but some really, really amazingly wealthy people. Only known a handful of them, but most of them weren't really happy. Their lives had a little bit of chaos to it. Lawsuits, divorces, infidelities, just kind of anger. But to think these lottery people go through bankruptcy, and I guess that's an outshoot of the fact that typically your most intelligent, financially savvy people are not the ones playing the lottery. $1.6 billion. The other fascinating thing to me about the lottery is interesting. Okay, so here's what happens with a lottery. You get your paycheck. They gank a bunch of taxes and Social Security taxes and payroll tax. They take all this stuff out of there. You got a few bucks left. You take some of that after-tax money. You go and you buy a lottery ticket. You and a bunch of the other fellow citizens around here all take your after-tax money and you buy lottery tickets, and then it swells to some big, big amount. At this point, $1.6 billion. That's a stunning amount of money. And then somebody wins. And then they take the lump sum or they take whatever they do, and then the government comes in and taxes the crap out of it. They take a bunch of people with after-tax income. Now, you know, there's gift taxes. What is it now? It's like $14,000 a year you can give away without any taxes. Thanks, Uncle Sam. Thanks for letting us do one thing with our own money without you taxing us for it. But they take a bunch of people, take their after-tax money, put it into a big pot. Somebody gets a lucky number, draws it out, and the government says, okay, well, now we're going to tax that again. I don't know. I don't have it queued up. I need my sheep sound effect ready for any time I talk about taxes. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I want to remind everybody, if you're not around a radio, you can always get WYAB's entire day of programming on the TuneIn app on your phone. That's TuneIn. Look for the WYAB on there. You can also stream us live online, WYAB.com. And this show in particular, if you're interested in listening to it or rewinding it or finding out what you might have missed, if you can't tune in all day, some people won't quit their jobs to listen to this show. You can go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. You can also, there's a link to that also at WYAB.com. About halfway down the homepage, you can see previous Mike Madison shows there. I post this show every day, so it's podcast, and it also shows up on iTunes. You can subscribe to the show now on iTunes, at least until they discover that I'm a libertarian and they kick me off these different platforms. It is there. It's there for right now. So you can get those things there. I'm always suspicious. With the midterms coming, understand that so many political stories are designed around narratives that fit to the midterms. Now, am I just cynical or jaded? Is there something wrong with me that I always question these things? See, if you do enough research into any particular topic, you will find out that stories, as I say at the beginning of the show every day, story behind the story, stories are never exactly what they seem. There are always motives, largely money or power, behind these things. There are narratives that are driven that have nothing to do with, you know, the way the story is cast. I'll go back to it again. Obamacare was not about insuring more poor people. Obamacare was a payoff to the health insurance industry. It's easy to prove. So I'm curious about two stories that are going on right now, and we'll cover the first one. That's probably the biggest news story going on right now, which is the migrant caravan. Latest numbers I've seen this morning are this is up to 7,000 people, so it's gaining steam. It's like Rocky jogging through the streets of Philadelphia. Apparently, they're picking up more people along the way, and this thing is swarming. And there's been new headlines about this. This was going on last week. We first heard notice of this. I'll let Donald Trump talk about it. He's talking about sending troops to the border.
I would call in the military and I would seal off the border. I would close up the border. If that happens and if that continues to move forward, the caravan we're talking about, which is, I think, a man-made caravan, if you want to know the truth. I think some bad people started that caravan. More importantly, or maybe almost as importantly, you have some very, very bad people in the caravan. You have some very tough criminal elements within the caravan. But I will seal off the border before they come into this country. And I'll bring out our military, not our reserves. I'll bring out our military.
Now, this is my question. If you have an answer for me or have a suspicion, Mazda Jackson phone line here, 601-879-0002. Who is behind this caravan? Now, the timing of it is interesting, but here's the reason that I ask. A lot of people I've seen on conservatives think there was some footage of some guys, I'm thinking white T-shirts, you can probably find this online, of guys handing out cash to some of these people as they came through some of these small towns. And I don't know exactly where this group is. A lot of them were hung up on the southern border of Mexico. Some of them have gotten through. There was footage of them jumping into the water, swimming. You know, they got stopped at a bridge. But with that number of people, many of them just started moving around it. Mexican police are seen standing down in some clips. This caravan seems to be coming. I see a lot of conservative people saying, well, this is a George Soros operation, particularly when they show these guys handing out cash. The problem is, I think this is helpful to Donald Trump. And I made this point last time, too, and I can't remember exactly the timing of it. If you remember, the last caravan was, I believe, only 1,500 people. We have 500,000 people cross the southern borders illegally every day. 1,500 people was just basically a day's number. And so I understand that when these stories are driven, this is done for some kind of the timing of this thing. There's something political about this effort, and it seems to me to help Donald Trump. So it's kind of odd. I don't know. I suspect George Soros on this. Now, you might suspect George Soros and a lot of the illegal immigration. He is the, what's the, Open Society Foundation is one of the things he runs. And I could be wrong. Maybe he's doing it. Maybe it's a miscalculation, because I don't think that this is not the kind of thing that takes middle America and makes them more sympathetic to mass migration when they see what essentially appears to be a mob heading up, almost tracked in real time, heading up through Mexico and into the U.S. border. Now, there was one thing here. Christian Nielsen, the Department of Homeland Security, has weighed in on this as well. Homeland Security Secretary Christian Nielsen warned Sunday that the illegal immigrant caravan heading towards the U.S. could be exploited by cartels that control most of the illegal flow of people through Latin America. Oh, why do I bring that up? Well, isn't that interesting? Another consequence of our failed war on drugs. You want to stop mass migration? You want to stop drugs pouring across the border? I didn't hear her mention, and I read through the whole story of all of her remarks on this. I didn't hear her mention that Corona or Jose Cuervo were contributing to the problem of mass illegal immigration. Because they don't have to, right? They're legitimate, regulated, taxed, above the board organizations. We have empowered the drug cartels in Mexico through our prohibition to become wildly profitable, billions of dollars into black market gangs, creating violent situations that people, good people in Mexico, what would you do if America tomorrow turned into a failed state and the streets were run by criminal drug gangs? What would you do with your children? You would want to move, too. Now, Trump's probably right. I'm sure there's gangsters coming across the border. They're probably bringing fentanyl or bad drugs with them. Sure, there's some of that. But isn't it interesting that we have emboldened the cartels? It's like people can't see the nose in front of their face and understand that this is what happens with prohibition. We've created these huge gangs in Mexico. A wall's not going to stop the drug flow into the United States. It'll come by boat. It'll come by plane. It will still come. So Christian Nielsen's probably right. The cartels are helping this flow of illegal immigrants into the United States. Wouldn't it be nice if maybe we disempowered them and took their money away? Now, speaking of taking the money away, and speaking of taxes, how many of your tax dollars have you earmarked? If you were to take your tax return as you submitted your check on April 15th of next year, how many line items would be in there for you to send your tax dollars to Guatemala or to Honduras? Donald Trump has threatened, and it sounds like he is going to cut off funding to some of these Central American countries and maybe Mexico itself in response to them being helpless to stop this one caravan of people. Again, they've been sending 500,000 people across our southern borders illegally every year. For some reason, the tipping point for policymakers now is the 7,000. But did you know? I mean, what do you think about the fact that we're sending foreign aid to Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico? If you were to take your tax return in April and said where you wanted the money to go, how many of you would say, yeah, you know what? Send some of the money that you're stealing from me and send it to Honduras. Send it to Guatemala. Of course you wouldn't. Nobody would. And for that matter, Israel or Pakistan or Saudi Arabia or any of the other countless countries that we just hand out our money to. Again, you think you're paying for roads and bridges. Kind of cracks me up. It's so cute that people think that their individual income taxes are going to, you know, the platitude, taxes are the price you pay for a civilized society. So maybe if there's any benefit to this, maybe we save a little bit of money. Of course, that money will be spent somewhere else. We won't ever see it come back to us. It won't reduce the national debt. We'll just take that money and waste it somewhere else. But isn't it interesting when you stop and just think about the fact we've got foreign aid going to all these countries south of our border? And apparently they think it's some level of leverage to get it back. I just question the timing of this story. There's something behind this. I don't know what makes sense for it to be George Soros. This seems to be something that's benefiting Trump. I'm not saying Trump is doing this himself, but maybe there's companies that are lined up to exploit and get money paid on the wall. This would be a genius marketing ploy, wouldn't it? For probably just a couple of million dollars. I mean, you're looking at a $160 billion contract to build this wall, spending $5 or $10 million to get a very visible demonstration of an invading army coming up from the south across the southern border might be a very, very good business expense, wouldn't it? And then there's the other story we'll get to today, which is the Saudi story, the killing of this Khashoggi, is that how I'm saying his name right? I think everybody says his name differently. That's another weird story. There's something else going on behind the scenes of that thing. This is one guy that was killed. We didn't hold the Saudi Arabians responsible, or we didn't hold them accountable for their attack of killing 3,000 American citizens when they funded the 9/11 attacks, yet there's all this uproar about this one blogger for the Washington Post that was killed. There's something behind that, too. See, these stories, all of these kinds of things, that's how I talk about the media and political parties and politicians leading us around by the nose to these different stories and sticking them right into our face. It's always for somebody benefits from this stuff. And maybe as time goes by, we'll figure out how to do it. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, so the second story that's out there that I think this timing and it's odd. Again, we're talking about this a migrant horde coming up from the south. They're still pretty far away from the border, I believe, but we talked about the first one. It was 1,500. This was months ago. You remember the first one? And I said, well, that's the number that crossed every single day. Why is it such a big story? Now we've got this new one right before the midterms. I say, why is that such a big story? And then we've got this Saudi Arabian thing. We've got one guy who was essentially a blogger for Washington Post with a green card to the United States, appears to have been murdered in the Saudi consulate in Turkey. It's an intriguing story. It really is. When you look more into the background of this guy, he feels to me like he's probably a spook. He lives in Virginia. I mean, come on. Now, if he does his business in D.C. and writes for the Washington Post, I know a lot of people live in Virginia, but with all this guy's, all the stuff that's been going on with this guy, he just feels like kind of CIA. So I don't know what goes on, but why has this story gotten such attention for this? This is the Saudi Arabian government. And to point out kind of the propaganda playing into the two-party stuff. There was a headline on, I believe it was Gateway Pundit. Here's the headline. The headline was flashback, abused maid beheaded in street in Saudi Arabia, not a peep from U.S. liberals. This is what the headline on Gateway Pundit was. Now, what's interesting about that is there wasn't a peep from conservatives either that have perpetuated this long-standing relationship with Saudi Arabia. So they try to pigeonhole us into this two-party thing where the conservatives never get anything wrong. And when you're talking about the deep state, I got a clip of Lindsey Graham I'm going to play in just a second. And he gets everything he gets a ton of stuff about Saudi Arabia wrong. So we'll play that in just a second, too. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I called you because I heard another story that he was a Wahhabist and he believed in overthrowing the United States and he wasn't our friend.
Are you talking about the Khashoggi guy?
We worked with him. This is a story I heard. Now, I can't verify it. I don't know. I'm one of the talk radio stations I listen to.
Yeah, Khashoggi was, he was apparently pretty tight with, either he did some reporting, but yeah, he was very sympathetic to things like Osama bin Laden. He put out something after the 9/11 attacks. Within maybe a few weeks or a couple of months from that, he wrote a column for, I don't think it was for the Washington Post, it was for some Middle Eastern newspaper, where he pretty much took the side of the terrorist, and he blamed Israel for it. I mean, the guy was not any... He wasn't any great Western guy. I mean, it's why we care. The Saudi Arabians throw people off of roofs and they behead people constantly. Why is this one guy? Why is there outrage about this? His killing seems to be what Saudi Arabia does. That's just how their society is.
And that's a solid country. We can't do nothing. But anyway, I just want to point it out. He wasn't our friend.
No, absolutely.
Saudi Arabia's not our friend anyway.
Yeah.
I heard another story on them. This new prince that took over,
MBS.
He's trying to get women to drive and do different things, but he's really hadn't. He's loosened it up, but he hadn't. He still keep it tight on women. In other words, he's trying to make them look like they're our friend.
Right.
They're really not our friend. Yeah. This is two or three stories. I don't know. You got to figure it out as you go. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know the truth.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's what we're trying to figure out. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate that.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, this guy was, this Khashoggi guy was certainly not any westernized guy that was a big buddy of ours. Now, Saudi Arabia, you know, I agree with the caller. You know, this MBS, Donald Trump's spoken very highly of him. He's been announced as a reformer in Saudi Arabia. And we talk about, well, he's letting women drive. I think that's a PR move more than anything else to try to give them some cover. The bad things about that are that, well, they're kind of slaughtering millions of people in Yemen right now. Kind of hard to see a big difference in the Saudi government when they are literally killing millions of people and blowing up school buses full of children in Yemen right now. See, I think that the Trump or somebody in the deep state went to them and said, look, y'all are really doing some horrible things over here, and you're the biggest sponsor of terrorism in the Middle East. Now, we're going to go out in public and say it's Iran, but we know, I mean, the Saudis are Wahhabists. They're a Wahhabi sect of Islam, very oppressive to people. They are slaughtering people in Yemen right now. They have been funding, and I've gone through this. I'm not going to cite all the sources I've done. I've done these stories. They've been funding Al-Qaeda and ISIS throughout the Middle East for decades. But they're posed as this great ally of ours. It was interesting. I ran across a story today that said only 4% of the American people believe that Saudi Arabia is an ally. And that was interesting to me because maybe people have found their way through one piece of propaganda. You've noticed that Donald Trump went over and did the sword dance with these people, put his hand on the glowing orb. Barack Obama did the same thing. We curtsy to them. Now, look, the relationship with Saudi Arabia is very complicated. They've got us over a barrel. We are Saudi Arabia's B-word, as I say. Number one, they've got the petrodollar. They agree with OPEC to run all oil trade through the U.S. dollar, which means we cannot upset them no matter what they do. And if you don't believe me, then look at 9/11. They're implicated as the only country responsible for funding the 9/11 terror attacks, and we did nothing to them. The media even ignored it. That's when you know the corruption is deep. That's when you know how controlled the narrative the American people hear. When it comes out in classified documents that Saudi Arabia, high-ranking people in the Saudi Arabian government, were responsible for funding the 9/11 attackers, and the media barely covers it, barely touches it. Our politicians don't address it. We have wrecked 7 countries in the Middle East since 9/11, since the so-called war on terror, and we have completely ignored the one country actually responsible for it. That shows you how deep the propaganda in this country is, how people can't think for themselves, can't get outraged at the right things. We're worried about a football player taking a knee, and we're ignoring the country that attacked us on 9/11. I mean, if you had to rank the amount of importance, I got to tell you, Colin Kaepernick feels pretty low down the totem pole compared to a country that attacked us on 9/11. Now, there's a bunch of other problems with the 9/11 story, too, but I'm just trying to deal with the things that are actually on the public record. I got time now. I'm going to come back. I'm going to play this Lindsey Graham clip. I'm just wondering why this Khashoggi story is so big. It's one guy, and it's just the Saudis doing what the Saudis do. Now, they've come out and said, you know what? Okay, we killed him. It was an accident. It was a fist fight. They sent 15 guys to greet him at the Saudi consulate in Turkey. Interesting, they sent 15 guys. That's kind of the Saudis' thing. 15 hijackers, 15 guys to murder this guy. And they got into a fist fight, and oops, he died. Luckily, it appears that maybe they had a bone saw on hand so they could chop him up and take him out, maybe unnoticed, in a few duffel bags. That's good planning right there. We treat the Saudis like they're Boy Scouts. Maybe they actually are Boy Scouts, because boy, were they prepared. They had a bone saw on hand, able to chop this guy up. But the Saudis have admitted to murdering this guy. When I come back, I'm going to let Lindsey Graham do his thing on Fox News. There's been a couple times I've kind of, during the Kavanaugh stuff, I kind of like some of the stuff Lindsey Graham said, but I never liked Lindsey Graham. It's just that it seems like maybe with John McCain's shadow no longer cast over him, he's trying to be his own man. But boy, he says some things in this clip, and I just shake my head and say, holy cow, these are the kind of people that are running our foreign policy. Listen to what he says about Saudi Arabia. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. So the news media and our politicians ignored the Saudi funding of 9/11. The news media and our politicians largely ignore, save a few people, mostly the libertarian members of the Republican Party, we mostly ignore the fact that Yemen is slaughtering millions of people in the Saudi Arabians are slaughtering millions of people in starving them out and blockading them in Yemen right now. The media and politicians seem to ignore the fact that Saudi Arabia has been funding ISIS and al-Qaeda for decades, up to and including probably today. But one guy dies, and suddenly everybody is apoplectic at the Saudi Arabian government. Now, I'll tell you, we're helpless against the Saudis. And I want to make this point one more time. I'm sorry I keep hammering on this. But the reason we're so beholden to the Saudi Arabians is because we have got two parties in Washington, D.C. that need constant flow of debt. They need more and more debt to pay off special interests. That's what it all comes down to. Had we lived in our within our means, had Richard Nixon not taken us off the gold standard and started the greatest debt binge that the world had ever seen, we wouldn't be so beholden to other countries. We wouldn't be so entangled with different people for different reasons, because we wouldn't have needed this flow of, I mean, we have the most prosperous country the world has ever seen. And yet our politicians outspent the massive amounts of money that they collected in the federal government in the first place. This is why I don't play the two-party game. They both suck. But again, they've ignored all the really big, tragic stories about Saudi Arabia, and this one guy seems to be the big bugaboo. We're talking about it, so I'm asking again, why? This is Lindsey Graham talking about it. This is Lindsey Graham, who essentially has participated in every war, and we are knocking off countries that Saudi Arabia wants knocked off in the Middle East. You think it's the war on terror. You think it's about democracy. You think. That's because you listen to the mainstream media, including Fox News. It's not that at all. We're knocking off their enemies. I guess they are essentially saying, oh, you like your cheap oil? Iran is next. We want to see the Shia in Iran buckle under to the Sunnis of Saudi Arabia. And so Mike Pompeo and John Bolton and Donald Trump and Nikki Haley and all the warmongering generals who are actually lobbyists go through Fox News and they tell all the conservatives that Iran is an existential threat to the United States, and you believe them. This is Lindsey Graham, who's cheerled every war that we have fought on Saudi Arabia and Israel's behalf over the past 20 years that I've been listening to him.
Calling the story credible, but saying that he's not satisfied with the kingdom's response. The explanation being met with widespread skepticism on Capitol Hill, prompting a heated debate on how the U.S. should respond, especially since Saudi Arabia's status as a crucial Middle East ally still remains.
A crucial Middle East ally. I read Mike Pompeo's statements last week where he said, we need to remember that Saudi Arabia is a stalwart ally of ours in the fight against terrorism. I mean, that's as big of a bucket of crap I've ever heard. They fund terrorism and they attacked us on 9/11. Not just them, but them. And see, it still goes out in the mainstream media. Maria Bartiromo, the globalist on Fox News, Fox Business News, comes out and tells you, well, they are still our greatest ally in the war on terror. I mean, that is just such a blatant lie.
Counterbalance to Iran as well. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, who sits on the Armed Services and Judiciary Committee, joins me right now in an exclusive interview. Senator, good to see you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Your reaction to the Saudis' explanation?
I don't think it's credible at all. It's ridiculous to believe that 18 people would go to Turkey to kill Mr. Khashoggi. And nobody in the government know about it. That would be brazen abuse of authority.
Now, 15 Saudi Arabians loaded onto planes in 9/11. Lindsey Graham, funded by some of the highest level people in Saudi Arabia back in 2001. You think the government didn't know about it then? You've never mentioned it before, but this one guy's got you all in a tizzy?
He was clearly murdered in a consulate. Things like that don't happen in Saudi Arabia without people at the top knowing.
So could things like 9/11 or Yemen or, well, Yemen is an official Saudi bloodbath. But am I making this point? I keep trying to drive it home. Isn't this bizarre? Isn't this crazy town?
We'll find out more. I like the president's measured response. I like the idea he wants to consult with Congress about what to do. They are an ally, but they need us more than we need them.
So what would you like to see done about it, Senator?
Once we get all the facts in, I'd like to go after the people who put us in this box. This is the most in-your-face move by a Mideast ally I've seen maybe ever.
I mean, come on. Seriously. Is this not insane? Lindsey Graham saw this stuff. Lindsey Graham's one of these people who knew that the Saudi Arabians were funding the 9/11 terror plot. He's known it for 15 years. He says this is the most in-your-face thing by a Middle Eastern ally that he can remember. Am I harping on this too much? It's like one of those, I don't know, horror movies or something where you know who the killer is in the room. It's so obvious, and you're just looking around at everybody going, hello? Is anybody noticing the guy who's standing in this room with us? We're trying to figure out who the killer is. He's got a knife that's dripping with blood. Could we maybe think maybe he's the guy? I mean, you know, it's just, this is bizarre.
To kill a man in a consulate in a foreign country, extrajudicial killing shows contempt for the relationship. I'd like to.
That shows contempt for the relationship between Saudi Arabia. They killed a guy in their and listen, I mean, this is not a good story. There's no doubt about it. The Saudi Arabians are a ruthless dictatorship. But I mean, this is the thing that is just in our face.
Punish those involved. The Global Magnitsky Act would put punishment sanctions on the individuals that had a hand in this. And I find it impossible to believe that the Crown Prince was not involved. So go after him and his inner circle. Save the alliance. I don't mind military sales.
The ding, 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 ding. And that's what it's all about. It's the petrodollar. Saudi Arabians agree to trade oil in dollars. And because we've got politicians who spend us into just oblivion, and so they need a demand for dollars around the world. See, all countries have to go buy U.S. dollars in order to go then buy oil. This is the protection racket that we have with Saudi Arabia. We can't break that. We're beholden to them. Now, it wouldn't be as important a deal to us if our politicians always lived within their means. but they don't. See, Thad Cochran, Roger Wicker, Trent Lott, some of the big names here that people love to take a selfie with if they get an opportunity. These are the kind of people that put us in this position in the first place to have to deal with a brutal dictator in Saudi Arabia. And somehow they get away with calling them an ally.
But I cannot do business with the current leadership, MBS. He's done to me.
Well, so what he's saying is they need a new leader there. He doesn't like this MBS. He murdered this one guy. So they need to get back to the regular business of the old Saudi Arabian government, you know, the ones that funded 9/11 and have been funding radical jihadists throughout the Middle East. See, we use radical jihadists like a pit bull. You think that the war on terror is about this religious ideology that is hell-bent on destruction of the West, right? That's the narrative you've been given. And look, Islam's got its problems, and there are radical Islamic terrorists out there, legitimate ones. But they'd probably be a pretty small little portion, something that would be more akin to a gnat to us had Saudi Arabia not been funding them, had our own country not been funding them to use them as pit bulls around the world to wreck any country that we decide we want to wreck. But the Saudis have entered into a contract to buy $110 billion from Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and Boeing and General Dynamics. And the total amount of that deal should be somewhere around $350 billion. So what Lindsey Graham is telling you is that I'm all for the arms sales, but we can't do any business with this MBS guy. This murder of this one blogger was just a bridge too far. He's got to go. But we can keep sending him weapons. Again, Lindsey Graham ignoring the atrocity that's going on in Yemen right now and the Saudis' funding of terrorism up to and including today.
Initially, you had said you want MBS out. You said you weren't going to travel to Saudi Arabia unless there's a change there. But this is the man who's been leading this modernization program, apparently, who has teamed up with the United States to have a unified front against Iran. So when you're talking about Saudi Arabia, you have to talk about Iran, right? So what about that?
Absolutely. Well, Saudi Arabia is a natural enemy of Iran.
Isn't that interesting? Saudi Arabia is a natural enemy of Iran. See, that's the Sunni and Shia split. But you're convinced that we are the natural enemies of Iran, and Iran is our natural enemy because that's what you've been told. Another natural enemy of Saudi Arabia just happens to be on the list of countries that we're sanctioning and blockading and threatening war with. And I'm going to show you in just a second, too, that I think that war may be baked into the cake. It may be happening now.
MBS talks about reforming the country in a way that I liked. I've never felt more used in my life. I introduced him when he was in Washington, but he imprisoned the Lebanese prime minister. He embargoed the country of Qatar without telling us, and I see a heavy hand inside of Saudi Arabia, and I believe he is responsible for the killing of Mr. Khashoggi in the most brutal way. I think his behavior is way outside civilized norms, and I will never go back as long as he's there. You'll never convince me that he didn't do this, and our values ought to mean something, and I think they do. And I look forward to working with the president to find a solution to this. But I'm not going to look the other way. Every time you look in the other way in the Mideast, from the Taliban to Iran, you regret it. So there's no looking away from me.
He won't look the other way on this one. He looked the other way on 9/11. He looked the other way on the Saudis funding ISIS and Al-Qaeda for decades. He looks the other way on that. But this Khashoggi guy, he's never felt so betrayed. Lindsey Graham. My show is podcast. I know you're busy during the day, but at night, hey, listen to this. Now, I say that sarcastically because Lindsey Graham knows all this stuff. He is a war whore, as was his buddy John McCain, Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, Hillary Clinton. There's a lot. They're on both sides of the aisle. How do you get up in public, though, with a straight face and say these things and talk about how this is just a terrible thing? And ignore all of the other behavior of Saudi Arabia. I just wish they'd be honest with us. Can't they just come out and go, look, we're stuck. We've got to play ball with these guys. They've got us over a literal barrel, an oil barrel. It's about oil. It's about arms sales. We make so much money from the defense contractors here in Congress that most of us that gin up these wars would never be reelected without their money. So we've got to play the game. I wish they could just be honest about it. I mean, I almost think that the vast majority of the American people wouldn't even really care, to be honest with you. Because Trump would just spin it as a jobs program. We're merchants of death around the world right now. We've decided that we're going to deal with the most abhorrent people and sell them hundreds of billions. Now that arms deal is supposedly up to $350 billion is what they're going to spend on arms. So, and I got to tell you, here's the big headline. It's not a big headline. It's not anywhere else but here. But I just ran across this morning. Here's a couple of things real quick. They did a survey of U.S. military, asking them what the dangers were, you know, and military guys really, you know, you're enlisted guys, they're really only informed pretty much like the American people are. When asked about specific countries, troops said Russia and China were among their top concerns. The poll showed a big increase in the number of troops who identify those two countries as significant or major threats. About 71% of troops said Russia was a significant threat, up 18 points from last year's survey, which shows that they buy into the same propaganda that the rest of the United States does. And I'm sure this propaganda is continued in the military because it's all about arms races and trying to build up weaponry and spend money on defense. And 69% of troops said China presents a significant threat, up 24 points from this last year. Now, China may legitimately be somebody we should be at least concerned about. But again, this is all about spending money on defense contractors, as Eisenhower warned us about. Now, this was interesting. Some top Pentagon officials have voiced similar views. Last year, Marine Corps Commander General Robert Neeler told Marines that he thought there was a, quote, big-ass fight, unquote, on the horizon. The commandant reportedly told Marines stationed in Norway, quote, I hope I'm wrong, but there's a war coming. Yeah. Now, I think that war may start in Iran, and there's a little nugget of information here that may mean may show that I'm right. Billionaire casino owner Sheldon Adelson and his wife Miriam delivered another $25 million to help Republicans try to hold control of the U.S. Senate in the November 6 election, adding to the more than $87 million they previously gave to bolster the GOP's midterm campaign. They've given over $100 million. What's that? $110 million to the Republicans. And Sheldon Adelson is an Israel firster. And that's fine. That's absolutely fine with me. But at least understand that the Republicans that are going to come out and tell you that they want war with Iran, that Iran is the worst player in the world, that Iran should scare the bejesus out of you, just know they got $110 million from a proponent of war with Iran. Who benefits? It's an easy, easy thing to watch. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. Only got a couple minutes left in this final segment here on the Mike Madison Show. Thank you, Steve, for calling in and pointing out something. A couple months ago, Senate passed a resolution, which was introduced in the Senate, accepted by the Senate. It's Senate Resolution 610, a resolution urging the release of information regarding the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks upon the United States. This is 2 months ago. Now, I look at the sponsors of this thing, and it makes me question. That's just always it's so corrupt up in Washington, D.C. You've got to try to parse out motives. They're never actually trying to get to the truth. There are a lot of Democrats on this. Chuck Schumer, Kristen Gillibrand, John Cornyn, and Chuck Grassley are on there as Republicans. Cory Booker's on there. Marco Rubio is on there. And Bernie Sanders is on there. They're trying to declassify information about the 9/11 attacks. What do you think about the fact that our government threw out the Bush, Obama, and now Trump administration have still got classified documents on 9/11. See, here's the bottom line. You don't know what happened on 9/11. I don't know any of us really know. What I do know is the story that they told us is garbage. It's absolute garbage. Here's the narrative on 9/11 that the American people have been sold. A ragtag group of radical jihadists hell-bent on their religious crazy ideas somehow from a cave in Afghanistan were able to circumvent the greatest defense systems the world has ever known in the United States and take down two of the tallest buildings in the country. We didn't know anything about it. We never could have imagined anything like that would happen, and it spawned this war on terror where we have to go out against this radical religious belief. And ever since then, we have been attacking terrorism wherever it grows and restoring democracy to the Middle East. That is the official story, and it's garbage. It's easy to see through. There's a whole lot of stuff that stinks with 9/11. A whole lot of stuff. The Saudi connection is just one, because we're talking about the Saudi Arabians now, and it's the public record, man. Now, there's a lot of common sense lines you can draw around the 9/11 story to show what garbage the narrative is, but I just watched the American people sold on this war on terror and the $7 trillion spent in the Middle East, and then you just applauded when we gave the defense contractors a raise. You know, this is an important issue, man. We're bankrupting future generations, and we're killing our troops right now to fight wars for disingenuous reasons. And I spent a lot of time on the show talking about it, and I ain't going to stop anytime soon. That's all the time I got today. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston. Have a great day. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.